God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And we had a wonderful time yesterday. And youth meetings are for the young and the old. One day we're going to go to the youth meeting in the air. And we're going to be young again. See all these gray hairs and everything. They'll all be gone. All be taken care of. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into our study. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the prophet's message that we were just listening to restore our hearts back to the original faith. I pray, God, that you'll prepare our hearts this morning for the word that you have in store for us today. We come expecting, Lord Jesus. We come expecting to receive something. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. So we've been kind of meditating on what is that gene seed, because that was the topic of the last minister's meeting, and just kind of taking that and just wanted to meditate on it for a few Sundays, and thinking about that scripture in Romans chapter 9, verse 13 that says, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated," and which is Paul's quoting from Malachi chapter 1 that says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." And Brother Branham would lay the framework for these things that this is an eternal thought that God, we know the thoughts of God, they're not changing like our thoughts that, you know, one day you can think of a different, I think I'll apply for a job over here. I think that I need to do this one day. But God's thoughts are permanent and unchanging. And his thoughts if you've got eternal life today, or you ever will have eternal life, it's not even just a thought, like a thought that we would have, but it's an attribute of God. It's part of him. And so he expresses these attributes by the spoken word, by speaking it out. And so you think about that, the spoken word that we're hearing is actually expressing the thought that he had before the foundation of the world of you, that you would have eternal life and that you would be conformed to the image of the Son of God and that you would be conformed to maturity. And so the word that we're hearing is actually bringing us back to the thought that God had. And so, you know, think about sit up on the mountaintop and think about that sometime. Amen. Sit under the old apple tree.
Amen.
Sit, open your Bible in the morning with your coffee or whatever and think, right, God knew you before the foundation of the world. And it's not just something that just popped into his mind, but he always knew that you would want it. And he had in his mind just the same way that he knew that one day he would die on the cross, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that same way that he knew that was going to happen, he knew that you would want the word and you would respond to it. And it was something that was, it didn't pop into his head.
Nope.
It was always there.
Yeah.
So much that it's actually a part of him. Now, when we think about a part of him, we're talking about, like, you know, your genes are, you know, the genes that you're expressing, your hair color, your skin color, your characteristics, all of those things are part of you.
Amen.
And you're expressing those genes as you're born as a little baby in the natural, and to keep growing up, you express the characteristics of your mother and father. So God is expressing, you are actually an expression of a part of God.
Yeah.
As you hear the word, you're actually expressing the thought that, or the attribute, the thing of God that he wanted to express in this world.
Amen.
Now that's a pretty big thought to think about. It's almost mind-blowing. In Isaiah 46, it says, this is a wonderful quote to hang on to, scripture. "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning." Now, you think about the characteristic of God, that he knows everything that's ever going to happen. He's sitting outside of time and can observe the end from the beginning. "And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So what that means, that you put yourself in there, that he knows the day and the hour that you're living in. He knew what kind of a sermon to preach for you to kind of, you feel that, like Brother Brown was just saying, the deep call into the deep. Yeah, and for you to respond. So improving his word, he said his foreknowledge knowed what you would do. Yes. Yeah. So let's kind of examine that. What that means is his foreknowledge allows him to understand people's characters, their inclinations, and their responses to divine matters even before they are born. So we're framing up like Jacob and Esau. He knew Jacob would rather have that the birthright than the bowl of lentil soup. So foreknowledge includes knowing who will bear the character of Christ and who won't. So maybe just step back, look over the banister of time like God, and it's like him peering down through all of history and all the different people, all the different possibilities, and he sees you, and I know you're going to want it.
Yep.
So thereby knowing that, looking at it by foreknowledge, then he can predestinate. Then he's going to have an angel in the seventh church age. Then he's going to have a ministry. He's going to have a church waiting for you. All those kind of things he can organize. I'm going to put this person in this family. Or I'm going to have this person. Maybe they don't know anything about the Lord, so I'm going to have them marry this person. And everything is arranged because he's looking at your character. And then it all works out like that. By foreknowledge, he knowed what you would do. By foreknowledge, he knew. See, now that he's looking at the characteristics of the individual. Now, frame it up like this. Because he knew Jacob and he knew Esau, he knew that wherever you put Jacob, he's always going to respond. And I like Brother Bram said, if you want to know how you would respond in any other church age, look how you would respond in this age. How are you responding right now? Because it's who you are. So if you put Jacob in the days of Malachi or the days of Daniel or the days of Micah or whatever, it's who he is. He's always going to respond.
Amen.
By foreknowledge, he knew that Esau was a shyster, and he knew that Jacob would respect that birthright. Now, you ever stop to just ponder these things like, Esau, what are you thinking? You'd rather have a bowl of little soup than the birthright. The birthright tying in to one day that you're going to bring forth the Messiah.
Amen.
That line, one day that the Messiah is going to come forth and restore us back to all things and everything, and he'd rather have that bowl of lentil soup. In the moment it seemed good, that God, looking down from eternity, knew that Esau would rather have that bowl of lentil soup. So he knew how he was going to respond. And what a strange thing, too. Now, just ponder on these things. That Esau looked outwardly like he took care of his daddy. He was like the better son. The good. He was the good one. And Jacob was like a little mama's boy. What are you? You know, so many things that you would look at his life and like, what? It looks like Esau in the natural is better. But Jacob had so many faults and things, but yet, what God was looking at, do you want it? Do you want to be tied into the manifestation of the attribute of God? So there's what Jacob's value was, is he manifested the thought of God that God had about him before the foundation of the world. So we got all these scriptures. I know they're a little bit small, but I'll just read through them. In Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate.
Amen.
And there's that scripture that we preach. That's your purpose. If you want to know what your purpose is, you were, because you were foreknown, you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son.
Amen.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing here. There's your scripture.
Right.
I don't know why I'm coming to church. That's it right there.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:4-5 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, but that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So he knew that you would want it, and so therefore, because his attributes are eternal, that you're part of him, so therefore you're chosen in him, because you always were part of him. So when he manifested himself on the earth and died, then those attributes that were always in him could be expressed now. But before the foundation of the world, you're chosen in him. You're part of him. In 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ when? Before the world began. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So we're living out in time right now what God always knew would happen. We're manifesting in time an eternal truth that you always were eternal. Amen. Because God always knew that you would want it.
Right.
It's not something that it's like going to slip away. I better be careful. I'm going to lose this one. No, he said, "I'm not going to lose one." Nobody's going to slip out of his grasp. It's a constant thing that God. Now, aren't you glad of that kind of assurance? That if he thought of you, he's not going to lose you. That's why in John chapter 6, verse 37, we've got that promise that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So these attributes of God, it's, you know, they can be expressed in a book. It's like, and that's the Lamb's Book of Life, a section of the Book of Life that's eternal, because it's like a list of names, and if you want to find out if your name is in the book, then you look back to the book, because the book is actually expressing those names.
Yes.
That's why when we read these stories of Ruth and Esther, and we start identifying ourselves with the word, and that's how we recognize that we're in the book. Not that your name is right like Jacob. It'd be nice if your name was listed out like Jacob. Jacob, Bob have I loved, Wade have I loved, something like that. But it's not expressed like that in the word. But you can still identify yourself because you go through the same journey.
Amen.
You go through the same experiences. You can identify yourself. When you read about Daniel crying on his bed at night, you read about Solomon, you read about all these stories. They're expressing attributes and characteristics that you can identify with.
Right.
And you've been through the same thing. When you read about on the day of Pentecost and the journey of the believers in Acts, and signs and wonders following, you begin to identify yourself with that.
Amen.
And it's God actually showing you and revealing to you that, because as you hear the word, you become the word expressed, and you identify yourself back with the word. It's show, he's revealing to you that you're part of it.
Right.
And 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ before the world began."
Amen.
So God's thoughts are not just abstract or fleeting ideas, but rather the very foundation of all reality.
Yes, sir.
God's thoughts are the starting point of everything in existence.
Yep.
He thought it, then he spoke it, the sun came into existence.
Right.
He thought it, and he spoke it, and the galaxies were spun off.
Yeah.
And he thought it, and he spoke it, and now, and there's a quote. He thought it, he spoke it, and now here you are. He thought it, and he spoke it, and here you are. So we're coming in church is not just in vain, but as you hear the word, it's actually something supernatural is taking place. That the eternal thought that God had about you from before the foundation of the world is now expressing in you right now. So then we can identify ourselves. That the life, the supernatural life that we're living right now, is that thought that God had before the foundation of the world.
Nice.
And that positionally places us.
Yeah.
And that gives us identity. And when you can start identifying yourself with the word, then that gives you confidence. You don't have anything to prove anymore. You know, maybe early on in your spiritual journey, you had a lot to prove. I want to prove that I'm born again. I want to prove that I'm called. I want to prove this or that. I want to prove I'm in the right church. I want to prove this and that. But when you begin to get placed, you don't have nothing to prove anymore, because it identifies you back, and you can see. I know where I stand.
Amen.
So those who are part of God's eternal plan, those who have eternal life, are not just mere thoughts, but attributes of God. They are reflections of God's eternal nature and purpose. Brother Branham would say, "And sir, we would see Jesus." He said, "In the beginning, God was not even God. He was the great eternal, and in there was attributes. Attributes was his thoughts. And then he became a word like this, and a word expressed. Well, a thought expressed is a word expressed is a thought. And then remember, If you ever wasn't God's thinking, you'll always be there.
Amen.
If you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age.
Amen.
There's only one eternal life, and it always existed. And you in his mind existed before there was a world. That's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. It isn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God, eternal, you always was, see, in his thinking. Now that's not a quote that to fall asleep on. That's a quote to get excited about. That when I read something like that, that makes me happy.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. When you get down, you start thinking about that in the shower in the morning, or when the world's ganging up on you. God always had me on his mind. And the identification of Christ in all ages. He said, "May I break it down? In the beginning was the eternal." He wasn't even God. God, our English word, is an object of worship. But there wasn't nothing to worship him. He was just the eternal. In him was attributes. Anyone knows what an attribute is. In other words, in him was his thoughts, just thoughts. That's his attribute. Then his word, and a thought expressed is a word. In the beginning was the word. Before it was even expressed, it was a thought, attributes. Now, see what he's trying to frame up in our minds is to get away from that thought God has thoughts like we do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about this. I think it'd be a great idea to save Brother Ryan. It's not like that. It's constant. Yeah. So much that his thoughts of you, those eternal thoughts of the eternal life that you're going to receive here in time, are a constant. They're part of him.
Amen. Right.
And I keep reiterating that.
Amen.
I hope we'll kind of get it impress upon us. And Brother Brown will say, think of it. Before Jesus was ever born, 4,000 years before he came on earth, and several thousand years before you come on earth, Jesus, in God's mind, died for the sins of the world, and the book of life was made, and your name was put on that book of life before the foundation of the world. And Brother Brown, you can go read it. How did he put your name on the book of life? He spoke it. That's the Bible truth. See, your name was ordained of God and placed on the book of life before the foundation of the world. Before anything happened, your name was already inscribed in the eternal attributes of God. It was part of him. And so being that it's eternal, then it's already finished. It's already done. Like he thought of it, he thought of Jesus, of himself coming down and expressing himself in flesh and dying on the cross. Well, it's already done. In Revelation 13, it says, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world." So the view from eternity is always that a Christian does not become God's child at the moment of your birth. But I'm talking about the view from eternity.
Amen. Yeah. Okay.
We're swimming in deep water here a little bit.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good.
But the new birth manifests in time, like it expresses right in time what was spiritually true all the way from the beginning.
Amen. Amen.
Now that's why Paul could say,
yep,
"Because ye are sons,
amen,
God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father."
Amen.
Because from the view from eternity, you're already sons.
Amen.
And that's why he could say, before the foundation of the world, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated.
Right.
Because it's already, the scroll is already unrolled out in God's mind.
Right.
You think in God's mind, he's not just looking up to Laodicea, he's looking all the way to the white throne judgment, but looking all the way past that,
amen,
all the way past that, all the way past,
right,
past.
Amen.
Everything he sees, it's already done in his mind.
Amen.
So in John chapter 10, he could say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Or you think, you know, we come to church and the word's being preached and the minister doesn't know who's going to respond or whatever, but God already knows.
Amen.
To the point when God was manifest in flesh and he went around calling Philip and Nathaniel and Peter,
yeah,
he knew that they would respond to the,
amen,
point. He knew who he could walk up to.
Yeah.
"I'll make you fishers of men." He could call, and Brother Brett, there's a statement where he said that he could call them by name because he knew that they were his sheep.
Amen.
And he said, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish.
Yeah.
neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Amen.
Now, keep in mind the context of what we're talking about. We're talking about what is that gene seed? When Brother Bram said, down in your soul, you've got something. It always was there in the thinking man's filter. It always was there. It is that there's something that's tied to you. There's the thought of God is always thinking about you. And there's a potential in your life that you are going to come to. And you cannot escape it because it's who you are. God is looking at your characteristics just like he was looking at Jacob. And you're going to come to that potential that he saw before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And that potential is manifested by hearing the word.
Amen.
So you hear the word. He knew that one day you would hear the word and you would receive the word. And the word that you heard would quicken and blossom into life. And what's it quickening? The thought that God had before the foundation of the world now is expressed. And now it's a reality. And that's why Brother Branham said, talking about the woman at the well, he said, there was that predestinated seed down in there. And he said, what is it? It's the thought of God, the thought of God that God had before the foundation of the world. Now, you begin to meditate on these things and you realize that sometimes the things that Brother Branham said are difficult to understand, but really there's no other way for him to say it. When it's all said and done, he said it so perfectly to express this this thing that it's almost, how are you going to explain it any other way?
Right.
Jesus going around calling his disciples, he saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He knew exactly who would respond.
Right.
So what's the summation of the matters we're about to close just here in a few minutes? You as a child of God are an inseparable part of the genes of God. And the invisible union of the bride of Christ. He said that before there was even a moon, stars, or a molecule, you are sons and daughters of God. For you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning.
Amen.
Now, there's an identification. When you begin to recognize that what you're living out right now, that the eternal life in you really does tie back to the thought that God had before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That right now you are expressing what God thought of.
Amen.
That all of these things that we read about in the scripture in Malachi, that one day there's going to be a people that their hearts are turned back, that there's going to be a people that can tell in the last days, can discern the true and the false, all these things that are written of in the scripture, now you are expressing that.
Amen.
That's why in Christ is revealed in his own word, he said, if we are sons and daughters of God, then we are attributes of God.
Amen.
Now there's the if we are sons and daughters of God, if we've got that eternal life in us, then we are attributes of God.
Amen.
Then we got eternal life, and God is the only eternal life there is.
Amen.
Then we were in him from the beginning, and when Jesus became all that word, then we were a part of him then.
Amen.
There you are.
Amen.
When that's in there, there is no devil, no powers, no nothing can ever move it.
No.
That's the tie post of the soul. Why did he say no devil, no powers can ever move it?
Yeah, right.
Jesus had power over the devil because he knew who he was.
Right.
And so your identity gives you power over the devil.
Amen.
So that's why this is so important. When you know that you are the manifested, expressed thought of God,
amen,
then it gives you power over the devil.
Yeah.
Because you can stand like Jesus did, who was the Word, and you can say, I listen, devil, you can't tell me that I'm not born again. And as we roll along, you can't tell me that I'm not an adopted, manifested son of God. You can't tell me that I'm not the fulfillment of what the Word says the bride will be in this last day. You can't tell me, and that's we're coming to identity. So what is a gene? A gene is like all these characteristics that now are expressing. We've talked about that. I'm going to skip past that. So here's that quote, and we'll stop on this. When Brother Branham said in his church age, that it's not the person. Here's another quote that's kind of worded in an odd way. What does this mean?
Yeah.
It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It's the word or seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp. The eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And neither was born, and neither had done good or evil.
Right.
I thought we just got through saying that you're predestinated eternally. But now think about this.
Yeah.
that you, as an individual, you ain't nothing without the Word. It's the Word, the eternal thought, the attribute that God thought of before the foundation of the world. And God knew that one day you would hear that Word, and the Word would drop down in your heart, and that would be predestinated eternally. But you, just as an individual floating alone in your sinful condition, you're without the Word, you're not predestinated eternally. But when the Word drops in your heart, then that now you're called up to what God thought of. And now you continue along that trajectory. So we could say that it's the seed Word that comes predestinated eternally. But when that seed lives in a person, the person is part of God's plan. And you're called up into the eternal. And we'll stop right there. God bless you.